Well, we were having a wee frantic panic at least I was this morning because I had seen in the manse we had a bubble machine, and it was a brand new bubble machine, but it's already leaking. And we put wee brand new batteries into it to give it some power, and it didn't work. But with a little bit of jiggery pookery, it did work. So hopefully if I switch it on, we might get some bubbles. Hey! There we are. Yeah, you can bust the bubbles. What happens if you make these bubbles? What's inside them? What's open inside them? The bubble mixture makes the bubbles. Air! Yeah, there's air in it. There we are. Right, I think that's enough bubbles. So there's air inside the bubble, and the bubble's made with bubble mixture. So what happens to the air when you burst the bubble? What happens? Where does it go?
It
pops. And where does the stuff inside go? Can you see where it goes?
Into the air.
Into the air, yeah. It just,
you can't see it.
You can't see it. It just fills the air. Because the air in the bubble becomes part of the air in the room. And all of these bubbles, the bubble mixture's burst, and all of the air that's trapped inside these bubbles has now come back into the room and filled the room. Where has the air gone? It's all around us, even though we can't see the bubbles anymore. And that's really what Jesus was saying to the disciples when he said to them, and we were thinking about this last week, I'm going back to my Father, but if I go back to my Father, we'll send the Holy Spirit to be with you. And the disciples, most of the time, couldn't see the Holy Spirit. But they knew the Holy Spirit was there with them, filling their lives, filling the spaces around them, filling the people that they were meeting with. And the coming of the Holy Spirit to the church is so powerful that it bursts like a bubble bursting. It bursts outside the boundaries of the room that the disciples were in. It bursts outside the boundaries even of the city that that room was in. And the disciples were compelled out of the room, down into the streets of the city. So I wanted us to just now, this morning, to have a wee think about the kind of places that we will go this week. What kind of places will you find yourselves this week?
School.
So you find yourself in school. And you're back to primary six in school. All the years bumped up on Friday and bumped back down again for Monday. For a wee while longer. Yeah, so you find yourself in school. Where else might you find yourselves this week? Bed.
Work.
We might find ourselves at work where we meet with other people and we have things to do. Yeah.
At a party.
That's a brilliant place to be. And find yourself at a party with other people.
Scouts.
Yeah, we had an interesting night at Scouts with lots of Harley Davidson motorbikes on Friday night. Yeah, it's very noisy. So there are all sorts of different places that you find ourselves. It might just be the shops, it might be sitting on a bus, it might be going round to a friend's house. Wherever we are, there are all sorts of places that we'll be that take us out of the place we started. We'll start at home and we'll go out to these different things and these different places. And just imagine if you were going into these places and the Holy Spirit burst open in these places. What an amazing thing that would be. Listen to what happened in the story of that first Pentecost Sunday when the Holy Spirit suddenly burst open like these bubbles bursting open. This is what it says in Acts chapter 2. When the day of Pentecost came, they were all together in one place, a bit like us in this room. And suddenly, a sound like the blowing of violent winds. Let's get the audio. That's the sound of a blowing of a wind, came from heaven, and it filled the whole house where they were sitting. See, they were very sedate in these days. They were sitting, just waiting around, minding their own business. and suddenly something startled them. They saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on each of them. Now, I was told this morning I couldn't bring candles for us to put on our heads and light. That would have been a great illustration. But I was told there might be wax spilled. Tongues of fire separated and came to rest on each of them, and all of them were filled with the Holy Spirit, a bit like these bubbles filled with the Holy Spirit, and they began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them. Now, they were staying in Jerusalem, in the town outside, God-fearing Jews from every nation under heaven, a bit like Crieff, and we have lots of visitors coming. When they heard this sound, a crowd came together in bewilderment because each one heard their own language being spoken. And utterly amazed, they asked, "Aren't all these who are speaking Galileans? Then how is it that each of us hears them in our native language? Parthians, Medes and Elamites, residents of Mesopotamia, Judea and Cappadocia, Pontus and Asia, Phrygia and Pamphylia, Egypt and the parts of Libya near Cyrene, visitors from Rome, both Jews and converts to Judaism, Cretans and Arabs, so many different places represented. And we hear them declaring the wonders of God in our own tongues." Amazed and perplexed, they asked one another, "What does this mean?" Some people, however, made fun of them and said, "Oh, they've had too much wine." Then Peter, Jesus' disciple, Peter stood up with the 11 and raised his voice, "Folks, listen. And he addressed the crowd. He said, "Fellow Jews, and all of you who live in Jerusalem, let me explain this to you. Listen carefully to what I say. These people are not drunk, as you suppose. It's only 9 in the morning. No, this is what is spoken by the prophet Joel." And he reminded them of what the prophet had said centuries before. "In the last days, God says, I will pour out my spirit on all people. Your sons and daughters will prophesy, your young men will see visions, your old men will dream dreams. Even on my servants, both men and women, I will pour out my spirit in those days, and they will prophesy. I will show wonders in the heavens above and signs on the earth below, blood and fire and billows of smoke. The sun will be turned to darkness, the moon to blood, before the coming of the great and glorious day of the Lord. And everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved." Wow, what an amazing sermon that was. And what an amazing day that must have been for all those who heard that and who experienced the Holy Spirit compelling them out of the room into the streets to meet with all these visitors in the city of Jerusalem. An amazing power that came on them, a power of Peter to communicate in such a clear and powerful way. We're going to sing our next hymn, which reminds us of the power from on high. The Holy Spirit burst into the lives of the disciples and sent them out into the community to meet with others and to tell these other people about the love of God that they saw in Jesus. But when they spoke to these people, it was in a strange language and other strange languages that they didn't know. And at Pentecost, these strange languages required somebody to interpret them, to describe what the disciples were saying. And this wasn't done by the disciples. The Bible says this was done by the other people. Imagine how it must have felt for those people who knew Jesus, who'd seen all the miracles, who'd heard him say the most amazing things, who had experienced all these tingly moments with the hairs on the backs of their necks rising up when Jesus had brought heaven among them. Imagine how it must have felt for these people who felt so, perhaps so privileged to have to rely on others to translate what was coming out of their mouths. It must have been quite a challenge to understand to how they understood being the church. they must have been sitting in that room thinking, well, you know, if they go out and how will we do that? And what strategy will we develop? And they were probably sitting making plans as they sat round discussing it and getting everything right and all the I's dotted and the T's crossed. And suddenly the Holy Spirit just took them out of the room and used other people to make sense of the noise that was coming out of their mouths. It must have been a challenge to their understanding of the kind of church they were and they were going to be. And today, it seems to me that it's just the same. We need good interpreters. And what is God saying to our church? Who can interpret? And where outside the church might God be speaking? Because this story of Pentecost comes to us both as a celebration and a challenge. We can celebrate it as a moment of historical recollection when we remember something that happened a long, long, long time ago. But it's also a challenge because although it's an event from long ago, we, you and I, are connected to this event through the blessing of God, through our own baptism, if we've been baptized. And because of that connection, Pentecost demands a response. It demands a response from us as individuals, a response from me, a response from you, but it also demands a response from us as a church, as a body of God's people here in this place. And so we might rightly ask, what does it mean today to be filled with the Holy Spirit? What does it mean to be filled with the Holy Spirit in the way that these early disciples were? And if we're filled by the Holy Spirit, then what difference does it make to live in the Spirit? You see, at its most basic, Pentecost brought the disciples out from the relative security of that upper room onto the streets of Jerusalem. It took that band of perhaps confused, perhaps frightened individuals and it galvanized them into an effective missionary force. And today, as we, you and I, respond individually and as we, as the church, respond, the same is true. When we are open to and keeping in step with the Holy Spirit, that same Spirit of God galvanizes us and draws us into a depth of prayer and worship and fellowship that we would never otherwise know. And like the disciples of so long ago, the Spirit of God compels us to move from the security and the familiarity of church out into the community to tell the story of Jesus and to serve as the body of Christ, changing lives and transforming our community wherever we are, whether it's school or scouts or work or on the bus or in the shop, wherever we are, the Spirit takes us out to serve as the body of Christ, to change people's lives and to transform what's around us. Were we to remain huddled in whatever passes for an upper room today, no matter how special and how meaningful a place that might be for us, as that room certainly was for the disciples, it held very important memories for them. But if we remain in that space, we are not following the leading of the Holy Spirit. And so Pentecost teaches the church to look outside, to go outside into our community, to be the church without walls, to use Church of Scotland speak, to learn different ways of communicating God's love in Jesus and different ways of listening to what God is already saying and seeing what God is already doing that we have to go and help make sense of. So that's the challenge of Pentecost for us individually and for the church, that the bubble bursts and the Spirit compels us to go out to communicate and share God's love in Jesus.